We gather on this Thanksgiving Sunday around the table. And probably for many of us around this weekend somewhere, there will be a special meal. We did ours last night. Others will do theirs tonight, tomorrow, whenever. And there's something special about sitting around the table. And today we come, and it's a table of Thanksgiving. It's a table of remembrance. And we're thinking this morning about how do you prepare for that? We had people over last night, some family, and you know, you prepare for that, right? You prepare a menu, you buy the food, you clean the house, you do all those things, you get everything all ready. And I wonder sometimes when we come to communion, and it's always the first Sunday of the month, you know, unless it's not, but how often we prepare? How often we kind of anticipate that, and how often we do that. And so this morning, I just wanted to tie in a little bit of this Thanksgiving, a little bit of this preparation, a little bit about what it means to come to God. So we're in this series on prayer. Last week, we talked about upward prayer, which was praising God. And this morning, it's more inward prayer. It's more revealing ourselves to God. And I just want to read to you a couple of verses from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was teaching at the very beginning of the book of Matthew in chapter 6, and he says this, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't be babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So, Father, we just pray this morning as we think about what it means to go into that inner room and just be quiet with you. Father, what it means to go inward with you. Father, I just pray that you would speak to us this morning. And, Father, we thank you for the privilege that you give us of just coming and gathering. Often on this Thanksgiving, we thank you for all the things we see, for all the things that are there. But Father, we also thank you for the relationship that we have with you, that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, because of the gift of your Holy Spirit, we can have this intimate relationship with you, where we can just come and be quiet before you. And Father, as we think about what that looks like in prayer, we just pray that you would guide us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we looked at how to praise God, and the comments I got after the sermon were very much around the idea that, boy, that's something that I struggle with. Thank you for talking about that a little bit. And this morning, we're thinking about just this being quiet before God and being inward in prayer. And I think the danger in this part, because this, I think, is the second most challenging part of prayer, is just coming to God in the quiet. And I think one of the challenges is we always think that when we do that, what we need to do is come in confession. It's where I think I was for a lot of years of my prayer. If I come and I praise God and I see who God is, then I sort of see myself reflected in that and I go, oh man, I need to confess some stuff. And so it becomes a time of confession, which is good, as we'll see. But it can also be that when we come to God, all we bring him are the broken bits. All we bring him are the parts that we need him to fix or the parts that we're ashamed of. All we bring him is those kind of things. And I want to suggest to you this morning as we start out, and there's sermon notes in your bulletin there, that confession is not the only part of inward prayer. And so we're going to try and expand that out a little bit. I think we need to start with that. But I don't think that needs to be all of it. A passage that kind of nuances on that passage that I read you as we started is a story that Jesus told. He said, "A Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector who's within hearing range of my voice. I fast twice a week, give a tenth of all I get.' The tax collector, though, stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' And Jesus said, 'I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified by God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. One of my fears in our prayer life is that we can beat ourselves up so much that we don't actually meet with God in prayer. One of the things I get concerned about is what is the attitude that we come to God in prayer? And I think that depending on how you were raised, and perhaps depending on your personality, but I think definitely depending on kind of how you were raised, you kind of hear one of two things when you come to God, and we've talked about this before, but there's two verses that are sort of there. The first is from Matthew, when Jesus was being baptized. It says, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." The other one is from Isaiah. Isaiah sees this amazing vision of God, and his immediate reaction to seeing God is, "Woe to me," Isaiah cried, "for I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Now, here's the question. When you come to God in prayer, which one of those two is more predominant? Now, they're sort of extremes, maybe, but which one of those do you hear? Do you hear this, I'm a person of unclean lips, and I don't deserve to be here, and you bring all your broken bits to God? Or do you come and you hear God say, "I love you, you're my child, I sent my son to die for you, I sent my Holy Spirit to live within you. With you I'm well pleased." And I think there's a danger for us in the kind of conservative evangelical church that it's just the broken parts of us that we bring to God. And that when we're quiet with God, what we're doing is we're confessing all the ways we're inadequate and broken and sinful and all that kind of stuff. The church has sort of had that as part of its life. There was a guy by the name of Benedict. We know him mostly as Saint Benedict. And Saint Benedict lived around the year 500. And in that day, there was a whole movement. The church had lost its way. The Roman Empire had collapsed. Chaos was there. We call it the Dark Ages back in the day, but we don't do that anymore, apparently. And the church was in trouble. And the monasteries were starting to be these places where people who really loved God kind of gathered and just tried to kind of find a safe place to love God. And these monasteries had all kinds of challenges when you get a bunch of people living together that are trying to find God. And a guy by the name of Benedict made up this rule. And out of that rule, this little booklet that he wrote of kind of how to do this, pretty well every monastery today uses some version of Benedict's rule. And in it, he describes kind of how to live with other people, how to come to God. And he has what he calls the ladder of humility. It's a 12-step ladder. He says, if you really want to come to God, you need to go through this. And it's not bad. There's some really good stuff in there. But the seventh step is the one that I think is the caricature for me of the medieval Catholic Church, and I think the kind of fundamentalist Protestant church that maybe some of us grew up in. And he says this: the seventh step of humility is when we declare with our mouths and believe in our inmost souls that we are the lowliest and vilest of all, humbling ourselves and saying with the psalmist, "But I am a worm, and I am the reproach of all, the outcast of the people." Now, I don't know how many times you actually pray that prayer, but there's times where we come that way. We're kind of taught that, you know, when you praise God, you come and you've got this complete brokenness. And yet I think the whole idea of confession is that when we come to God and we bring our sins into the open, it allows God to forgive us and give us the healing that we need. And I put that verse in your notes there. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. I came across this story, Philip Yancey tells it, about a cardinal in the Philippines whose name is Cardinal Sin. Now, I just love the name. You know, if you're going to be a cardinal, what a great name to have, right? So Cardinal Sin. But anyway, he's a cardinal in the Philippines, and a woman comes to him, and she comes to him and she says, I got a message to you from God. This is a cardinal in the Catholic Church. And he says to her, well, that's not the way God usually works. And she says, no, I have a message to you from God. And she keeps coming back to his weekly mass, and she keeps saying that. She said, I've had this vision, and God's spoken to me. And he says, well, we have a test for visions that we need to know that you're actually hearing from God. And he said, well, what I want you to do, he said, is I want you to go back, and I want you to ask God about a particular sin that I've confessed in this past week, and you come and tell me what it is, and I'll know then that you've heard from God. She comes back the next week. He didn't expect this. And she comes back and he says, did you hear from God? A little nervously. And she said, yes. And he said, did God speak to you about my sin? She said, yes. He said, what did he say? And she said, God said he couldn't remember. And that is the important thing of the whole idea of coming to God, is that when we come to God, God comes, it's a healing moment. Sometimes we think it's a humbling moment. Sometimes we think, it's whatever. But if there is not this promise of God that he will heal us and forgive us and then forget about those sins, what if God doesn't just want our sins, but what if God wants all of us? What if God wants us to bring our whole selves? One of the verses that kind of resonates with me somehow is this verse in your notes from Malachi. And Malachi said to the people, so this is the last book of the Old Testament. This is, 400 years before Jesus. Malachi says, quoting God, bring the whole tithe into my storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing there won't be room enough to store it. And God there is talking about our offerings. It's sort of a Thanksgiving thing. We say, well, we're thankful. God says, well, if you're thankful, what I'd love you to do is to bring 10% of what I've given you. And as a sign of your thankfulness, as a sign of your trust that you believe that I will look after you, come and bring that and give it. And Malachi says, we need to bring the whole tithe, because some of us, we don't think we can afford to do that. We're not in that kind of part of our lives where our finances are such that we can give 10% to God. And, the reality is whatever it is that we're spending money on that we can't afford to give to God is the God in our lives at that moment. But that's a sermon for another day. But what Malachi says, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And that was echoing in my mind this week, because I think that's what God says to us in our prayer time, is he says, what I want you to do is to bring all of us into that prayer and into that time of prayer. And I wonder, when you pray, do you bring all of yourself into prayer? I wonder, when we pray, if we don't just bring parts of ourselves, but we hide away some of the stuff. We hide away our feelings. We hide away our doubts. We hide away our fears. Sometimes we even hide away our joys. And we only bring to God the acceptable part of us. And I just want to reword that verse of Malachi. And I think this is the point of the sermon, and we'll apply it quickly. And I think what you could reword that verse of Malachi for prayer is, bring your whole self into this relationship that there may be joy. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will be not life enough to live it. And what if moving inward with God is not just about coming and confessing quickly so we can move on to the other things, but what if coming inward with God is bringing our whole selves? And what would that look like? Well, I put some things. What would it mean to do this? The first one, I think, is, what am I experiencing that I can lay before Him? chatting with someone before the service. You know, I said last week, you know, we need to pray the Psalms and pray the prayers of praise. And I was talking to someone, I said, well, you know, it's easy to find the other ones in there too. And it is, you know, because the psalmists are very honest. You can find psalms of lament. You can find psalms of God, where are you? Psalms of God, how long? Songs of God, I need you to take care of my enemies. You know, whatever they were feeling, they brought to God. And I wonder if we have that freedom to do that. Or if we just bring the broken parts and the acceptable parts, but we don't bring the real parts. I wonder if you ever come to prayer with God and say, God, this is the greatest day of my life. I just can't believe I can talk to you about it. Or if you come to God and say, God, you know, the only reason I'm here is because I know I need to be here, and I'm fulfilling an appointment, and I would rather be anywhere else, but I'm going to come. And we need to bring God our emotions, and we need to bring God our anxiety and our anger and our lust and whatever it is that we're feeling. We need to be transparent with God. And if we want God to be a friend, we need to be open with Him. And I just think there's maybe some things that we can do, you know, that we need to be in the right place for that. And just preparing ourselves to be in God's presence. Just cultivating this holy expectancy that we get to meet with God. And God is this intimate Father with whom we can be honest. And I'm guessing for many of us, because I know we're a church of, you know, left brain type people, and we're not highly emotive, many of us, is there's probably very few people in the world we're really honest with. There's very few people in the world that we share our emotions with and how we're feeling. And I imagine there's many here who are in marriages where you don't even express your feelings in that intimacy. And so coming and bringing them to God can be a challenge. And yet God wants to hear from that. I think when we come to God and we bring ourselves honestly into His presence, God can begin to be at work in the things that are there. You know, one of the Psalms, the psalmist complains from the beginning to the end. Often if you read the Psalms, he complains, you know, like, why do the evil people prosper? And then he says, and then I went in the house of the Lord, it all became clear and it was all wonderful. But there's a psalm in there where nothing good ever happens. You just go through this thing, and at the end of it, he's at the same place he started. And I remember my Old Testament prof when I was in school talking about that. He says, you know, the amazing thing about that psalm is he still comes to God. The amazing thing in the psalm is not that nothing happens. The amazing thing is that when he feels that way, he still addresses God and tells him that. And it's that idea, I think, of if we want to have a relationship with God, we have to bring who we are. And this coming inward with God is just simply beginning by saying to God, God, this is how I'm feeling today, whether it's good or whether it's not. This is the fears I have. God, this is the doubts I have that you're even listening. Whatever it is, to bring those to God. And just to begin that time of communication with Him. And then secondly, only then to bring to Him the things that we need to confess. What do we confess? Well, we confess sin in thought and deed. We admit to God the things that we've done, the things that we thought, the things that we haven't done. But also, secondly, we confess our distractedness. I think the challenge for most of us is not that we do a lot of bad things. The problem with a lot of us is we just don't think about God very much. We get so caught up in the day. We get so caught up in whatever it is. And maybe that's why we need to start with saying, God, this is my feelings, because my feelings are driving me today. But they're not driving me to you. And as we start to do that, we begin to talk with God about the distractedness. And maybe the thing that's the deepest challenge in our lives is not the sin we've done, it's the fact that we've lost sight of God in the day-to-dayness of our lives. And I love that prayer that comes out of the prayer book. We're going to use it at communion again, but says this, "Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. But we haven't loved you with our whole heart. We haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves, and we're truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your way and walk in delight in your will and walk in your way to the glory of your name." And it's this wonderful prayer of confession. Not just of our sin, but of our desire that we would delight in his will and walk in his way. And then thirdly, as we kind of bring that to a close, the third kind of step of that inward step of prayer is just to remind ourselves of what's good in our lives that we can praise God for. Now that we've told him how we feel, now that we've explained to him the broken parts of our lives, perhaps, we come and we remind ourselves of the good things. How God is at work in us. Where I've seen growth. Growth in my knowledge, growth in my experience, growth in my love and devotion. And then where I've seen God at work. In that time of quiet confession, it's just, how is God at work through me? And those two questions, how is God at work in me? How is God at work through me? Is there some way that God has done something through me? Is there some way maybe that God is beginning to hint at what he'd love me to do this day? And as we gather and as we just, not as we gather, but as we pull away and as we go into the quiet, and we spend this time with God, and we tell him how we feel, and we bring our whole selves into this relationship. And as we do that and we confess the things that need to be confessed, but as we also celebrate the things that we can celebrate, the way God's at work in us, the way God's at work through us, the way we see God there, I think it leads to this deepness in our relationship with him. And Paul has this wonderful prayer that he prays over the Ephesian church. And I think it's sort of what happens when we get this right in our own lives. Paul says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." Wouldn't it be incredible if after you had had a quiet time with God, where you've praised him for a little while, where you've kind of drawn inward and just revealed yourself to him, your good, your thoughts, your bad, all of that together. If at the end of that and you draw, next week we'll talk about, you know, kind of the outward prayer, praying for our world around us. But if you went through those three movements of prayer, and at the end of this was true of you, that you felt and knew that you were rooted and established in love, that you could grasp how high, how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ, to know the love that all surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Wouldn't that be an ideal relationship with God? And I think the way you get there is you get there through prayer. You get there through coming to God in the quiet and praising him. You get there by revealing yourself to God and maybe revealing yourself to yourself. and coming and just bringing your whole self into this relationship with God. And then you bring Him your prayers and your requests, as we'll look at next week. And I think as we do that, our relationship with God will begin to grow deeper. Our relationship with God will begin to grow more real. Our relationship with God will become the center of our being. And maybe today, if God feels a little distant, maybe today, if it doesn't feel like there's that excitement about our Christian life, maybe it's because we haven't brought our whole selves to Him. And we haven't laid them before Him. And maybe God is just waiting for us to reveal all of us to Him so that He can reveal all of Him to us. And so we come and we gather around this table. And on this table are God's signs of His love for us. The bread is Jesus' body broken for us. The cup is Jesus' blood shed for us. That God loved the world so much that He would send His Son into the world, that He would die for us. And that if we would believe in Him and enter into relationship with Him, we can find forgiveness. And not just forgiveness, but this deeper life with Him. So let's prepare ourselves to come around the table. Worship team is going to come and sing.